samamanotasthana shanti vidvasha rite jitadatmana utpate sthitat tadhi hyanantasya mahatsamarhanam. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramati balavadridham, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayur eva sudushkaram." For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, it seems to me, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The only bona fide process for controlling the mind is to fix the mind by the service of the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind, but actually there are no enemies and friends. Pandita samadharshanaha samasaraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Night. The devotees performed this beautiful drama of the appearance of Lord Narasimha Dev. And Anuradha so wonderfully displayed the wonderful qualities and teachings of Prahlad Maharaj that upon her inspiration I have been induced to speak on the teachings of Prahlad today. Prahlad Maharaj is addressing his father, Hiranyakashipu, to give up his demoniac mentality. Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad to give up his body. He tried to kill him in so many ways. He was truly, by the material sense, Prahlad's greatest enemy. After all, if someone is throwing you under elephants and throwing you in fire and throwing you in boiling oil and blaspheming you with the most harsh words and looking at you with utter hatred, you would probably consider that this person was my enemy. But Prahlad Maharaj did not see that. He only saw a pure servant of Krishna that was in a very pitiable condition of forgetfulness. And he loved his father. He wanted only the best for his father. And in his compassion, he is explaining to his father, not that you give up your body, but you give up this particular type of mentality, which is completely an illusion and completely forgetful of the truth of Krishna. Within this material existence, the mind is so much influenced by different types of conditioning. There are three modes of material nature: ignorance, passion, and goodness.
tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun.
And the various mixtures of these three modes create different conditions of our mind. Srila Prabhupada explains it that these material modes of nature are all coming from material nature. Material nature is like the earth. And the earth produces wood, the wood produces smoke, and then there is fire. So, actually, the purpose of wood in this sense is to create fire. But wood in that state does not give any illumination. It simply projects darkness. The mode of ignorance is compared to wood. It is the most undeveloped state where the mind is in complete forgetfulness of Godhead. That is called tamaguna. Slightly higher than that is when the wood elevates to the level of smoke. In smoke, there is very little clarity, but there is some light. And then there is fire. Smoke is compared to rajaguna, and fire is compared to sattvaguna. It is the full development of material consciousness, where it projects light. And in that complete light, rajaguna is like smoke, it is partial light. Tamaguna is like wood, complete darkness. In that full light, we must understand what is the purpose of fire. The ultimate purpose of fire is to be used in the yajna, or in a fire sacrifice, for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is bhakti. First, we must elevate our consciousness to the mode of goodness. And then we must use that illuminated state of consciousness in the service of the Lord. And that is perfection. And when we offer that fire of our goodness of consciousness as a sacrifice to the personality of Godhead, then we transcend the modes of material nature. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokamam karma bandana taratam karma kontaya mokta sangha samacha. Krishna says, all your work should be done as an offering to me. That is the transcendental state of consciousness. But in order to do this, we must live a very good and a very pure life in the mode of goodness. So the mind must be brought ultimately to this state of illumination. And Prahlad Maharaj is explaining here that the process, the only process by which the mind can be freed of the modes of material nature, is to always remember Krishna. The mind is the greatest friend or the greatest enemy, depending on whether it is influenced by the mode of ignorance, passion, goodness, or whether it is remembering Krishna. And the whole purpose of religion, the whole purpose of yoga, is to discipline the mind in such a way that it is in its most illuminated state, and in that state, it is constantly in the service of the Lord. There are so many warnings and so many instructions on how to deal with the mind. Sankalpa vikalpa. The mind is always in a restless state in the conditioned. Sometimes it is accepting, sometimes it is rejecting. Sometimes it is sochati, sometimes kankshati. It is hankering for something it doesn't have, sometimes lamenting for something it does not have, or it has lost. The mind is very fickle, chanchalam. It is very restless. You cannot depend on this mind. One day you love someone, one day you hate someone. One day you're just so peaceful and happy, and even all the conditions are exactly the same the next day, and you're miserable. The mind is such a thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, sometimes you get the most delicious, opulent food, and you're ready to have a wonderful feast and enjoy, and then someone insults you, or someone says something terrible against you, and your mind becomes so disturbed, you have no appetite, you cannot even eat a morsel. That is the power of the mind. And we see what kind of crazy society is developing due to the mind which is influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. Srila Prabhupada said the modes of passion and ignorance are bad. We must give them up. The mode of goodness is good. But it must be offered to Krishna. Because you cannot offer the mode of passion and ignorance to Krishna. You can offer goodness to Krishna. You cannot do a fire sacrifice with simply smoke and wood. You need fire. And similarly, the lower species are developing in the same way. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And in all of these species, the soul is coming up from the lower grades of ignorance gradually to the species where there is more passion and then goodness. And the human form of life is meant for the mode of goodness. But if we do not utilize this human form of life for the purpose of that goodness, to serve the Lord, to engage in the process of bhakti, then it is all a waste. That same fire which is meant to illuminate and please the Lord, it will simply burn if it is not used for its purpose. Yat karoshi yadasnasi, yaj juhoshi dadasi. Everything is meant for the service to Krishna, as an offering to Krishna. So we understand, by our own realizations, experience, and by hearing from the Shastra, what is the power of this mind? How it is creating so many enemies and so many friends? How it is always ruling our life and keeping us in frustration? Actually, if your mind is peaceful, then it doesn't matter what happens in this world. You'll be in bliss. Correct? Happiness and distress is not the circumstances around you. Happiness and distress is simply the condition of your mind and your perception of those circumstances. Some devotees, when they are insulted, they become blissful. They think, this is wonderful. Krishna is giving mercy to me. They start dancing. And someone else, when they're insulted, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. What is the use of all my money? What is the use of all my prestige? I have been mistreated. People commit suicide. Some of our students, they fail their exams. They're in complete frustration. I have met people, they fail their exams, they feel like they're liberated. They're in ecstasy. This is Krishna's signal. No more school, I should just go to the Himalayas and meditate. Huh? We have met people like this. When I was in Himalayas, I met yogis. I asked, why you became a yogi? He said, I failed my exam, so miserable. I realized that God just wants me to become a yogi. And it was liberation. That was my moment of mukti. So everything is just perception of the mind. One person is dying, and he's thinking, very nice, away with this body, away with all these entanglements, I will go back to Godhead. And another person, while he's dying, is in total frustration. Who will take care of my children? Who will take care of my grandchildren? Who will feed the dog? In this way, total anxiety. So it is all perception, the same situation. Just like when devotees are chanting in the streets. Some people, they hear the chanting and see the devotees and they're completely disturbed. They throw stones at us. And someone else sees the devotees and hears the chanting and they're very happy. They start showering flowers on us. So what is the difference? We're the same devotees chanting the same names, but the mind is different. And from day to day, from minute to minute, you do not know what the mind's condition will be. So how to control the mind? There are many different processes. There is a process of controlling the mind by very scrutinizingly discriminating everything that you see and trying to understand that this is illusion and this is truth. That Brahman is truth. And everything else is illusion. That means whatever you see in this world, whatever your senses can calculate or perceive, it is all an illusion. So you're just going around convincing yourself, she's an illusion, he's an illusion, that's an illusion, this is an illusion, everything's an illusion. And what is truth? That which I cannot see, that which I cannot hear, that which I cannot in any way perceive. That which is above and beyond all perception, that is truth, and everything else is an illusion. And this path of yoga, you must very diligently at every moment, just everything is an illusion. And you have to act according to that principle. That means you have to become a sannyasi, you have to detach yourself from everything. Otherwise, there's no meaning to saying everything is an illusion. Why should you live and serve illusions? Why should you even eat if your body is an illusion? Why should you sleep if your body is an illusion? Why should you fear death if it is an illusion? So that is one path. And then there is the yogis, and their conception is through tapasya to somehow or other conquer and control the mind and senses. But the problem with that is material nature, which is directing the three modes of material nature, is so strong that it is far greater than the efforts of any jivatma. Because the jivatma is only 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. It is infinitesimal in size. And Krishna is Vibhu, he is almighty, he is great. And Maya is his energy. Daivi yeshu guna mayi mama maya duratyaya. It is Krishna's energy. What hope do you have to overcome the powers of God's energy? God has two energies. Yogamaya, the spiritual energy, for those who worship Him with love. And Mahamaya, the power that keeps everyone in illusion, the power that keeps everyone's mind disturbed in this material world. Sometimes it's disturbed by happiness, and sometimes disturbed by distress. Sometimes disturbed by pleasure, and sometimes disturbed by pain. Now you may think that when I'm in pleasure, it doesn't seem like my mind is disturbed. Pain is disturbing, but not pleasure. But actually, from the transcendental point of view, they are both disturbances. Because they are disturbing the true condition of bliss that the mind is meant to enjoy forever. That is a disturbance. If someone's trying to give you 1 crore of rupees and someone else just completely just pushes that person out of the way and says, I want to give you 5 paisa, would you consider that a disturbance? You'd say, get out of here. He's giving you something. But still, that's like pleasure in this world. Pain is like someone trying to take it away, whatever you have. Pleasure is someone trying to give you something, but it's distracting your mind away from the real wealth and treasure of what you are and who you are and your relationship with God. So the pleasures of this world, the happiness of this world, the success of this world, the honor of this world, all the good things and all their negative side of duality, they are all simply disturbances because they are taking our consciousness away from its true glory, its blissful state. So what power do we have to overcome Krishna, who manifests through material energy as Maya? No power. Therefore, even the greatest of the yogis, Vishwamitra, he could control his mind to the point no eating, no sleeping, no thought of sense objects. He could torture his body with fire and ice-cold circumstances that nobody could live through today. But the power of Maya, through the tinkling of the ankle bells of Menaka, he lost all of his austerity. And he was the greatest yogi on that path. So therefore, the path of bhakti is the true natural process of controlling the mind. All other processes are artificial. Just to restrain the mind and say no to the mind is artificial. To fix the mind on things that are temporary and illusory and full of misery in the end are artificial. But the natural process is to fix the mind on the very source of the mind, the very source of everything, the absolute truth. Satyam param dhimahi. This is first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Meditate on the supreme truth. And who is that supreme truth? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna. He is the supreme truth. And that is our ultimate goal. Because Krishna is all pure. And when we allow Krishna to reside within our mind becomes purified. The purpose of everything we do in spiritual life is to purify our mind. Therefore, before we perform the fire sacrifice, Agnihotra, we chant this wonderful prayer, which actually reveals the purpose of that yajna. Om apavitra pavitro va sarva vastam gato piva yasmare pundarikaksho sabhayabhyantara suchi. That whether you are pure or impure, just by remembering Krishna, who is pavitra, who is supremely pure, we become purified. Whatever comes in touch with Krishna must become pure. Because Krishna is the supreme purifier. He is sometimes compared to the sun. The sun can purify anything in this world. Even stool and urine becomes purified by the sun. But by its contact, the sun never becomes contaminated. So in this way, to keep Krishna in our mind, to always remember Krishna, is the essence of all religious principles. This is explained in Bhagavatam, that of all the injunctions and all the teachings and all the scriptures of the world, they are all meant to bring us to this point of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. Because we become purified by that process. When Krishna descended in this world, he was performing his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. And when he was hardly 5 years old, he would go out with his friends, the gopas and sakas, and they would herd cows. And they would play so many wonderful games together. Shukadev Goswami explains that these friends of Krishna, the cowherd boys, in their previous lives they had performed heaps and heaps and heaps of the most pious activities. Why? Because that supreme absolute truth, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, who the yogis perform lifetimes of tapasya to get one glimpse of, who the jnanis perform so many lifetimes of great, great determined studies in tapasya to enter into his effulgence. These little cowherd boys are throughout the day playing with Krishna, having the most wonderful loving exchanges with Krishna. These cowherd boys, the gopas of Brajbhumi, they are the most exalted personalities. Immersed in this beautiful lila with the Lord. And in this way they would play so many games. They were little children, smaller than this little girl who's walking about. Only 5. And one day, a great demon, he decided to kill all the children and to kill Krishna. He was a terrible murderer. He was a friend of Kamsa. And not only that, he was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. And Krishna had already killed Putana by sucking the milk from her body, and he already killed Bakasura by ripping open his beak so wide that his face cracked open. So this demon, he wanted revenge. His name was Agasura. And he was thinking that to please Kamsa and to avenge the death, the terrible, unfair murders of my brother and sister, I must destroy Krishna. And I must destroy all the residents of Vrindavan along with him. So he had great mystic powers. He was a yogi. And he used his manima siddhi, in which you can expand yourself to great proportions. And he became 8 miles long. And he took the form of a serpent. Now you can imagine how fearful is an 8-mile-long serpent. If you were to go into your favorite bedroom at night to sleep, and you saw a serpent that's 2 feet long, just wiggling around on your bed, would you be afraid? If you would be afraid, say Hari Bol. And that's just the little skinny, useless serpent. That might be 1/2 meter long. But Agasura was 8 miles long. He was a really fearful snake. And he opened his jaws. And when the cowherd boys saw him, they were all dancing and playing, laughing, and they saw this huge, huge serpent would come to kill him. And they were just talking to each other that his bottom lip is on the ground and his top lip is all the way up in the sky, in the clouds, practically touching the sun. And see how wide his mouth is. We can hardly see what is right and what is left. And his teeth are like the summit of mountain peaks going up and down. And his tongue is like a broad traffic highway. And his breath is like a hurricane. And that terrible fishy smell is his intestines. Perhaps this is a huge giant statue. And another friend said, no, this is a gigantic animal. It is a snake. And he's come just to swallow us and kill us. He's come to destroy us. And they were all just joking as Agasura was very impatiently waiting. So the cowherd boys began to think, if we all go in together, then how can he swallow us? And even if he does, Krishna will save us. Because Krishna killed Bakasura, Krishna killed so many demons, we have nothing to fear from this great demon. And saying this, they all looked at Krishna, and they smiled, and began to clap their hands, and they all danced into the mouth of the snake. And Krishna, he was looking, and he was very aggrieved, because all of his friends, they were already... They already walked through the mouth, the throat. They were in the belly of the snake. Agasura. And Krishna, who knows everything, out of love for his devotees, sometimes he is actually feels an aggrievement of compassion. The Lord is a person. The Lord is not simply an impersonal principle, but he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And all of the emotions, all of the feelings that are in people of this world like you and me, their origin is in Krishna. But the difference is all of Krishna's feelings are perfect. They are perfect and complete. When Krishna feels aggrieved, it is the perfect aggrievement of his ecstasy of compassion and love for those who are in need of him. And when devotees see that, they weep tears. How merciful, how kind is the Lord. Aggrieved at our situation. So Krishna was thinking that my friends just danced into the mouth of this great demon. So I should go in to rescue them. So Agasura, he kept his mouth open. He was waiting for Krishna. And then Krishna, behind his friends, he entered into this terrible, terrible, contaminated mouth of this serpent. Now you know that the mouth is considered a very impure place. Even human beings. I once talked to a doctor, and this doctor told me that the worst type of bite is humans. You can get all diseases if a human bites you. It's worse than dogs, worse than rats, if a human bites you. Of course, rats and dogs are also bad. But we understand the mouth is a very dirty place. In the Indian culture, we learn if you touch your mouth, you wash your hands, because it is impure. What to speak of the mouth of a serpent, which is full of poison? So Krishna danced into that mouth. And then Agasura closed his mouth. And there was complete darkness. And then Agasura began to try to smash Krishna and his cowherd boys through the process of digestion. And the demigods, when they saw Krishna enter Agasura's mouth, they were very afraid. In fact, the demigods were afraid of Agasura anyway. They were always praying, may this Agasura be killed. Because the demigods, they would drink this nectar, which would give them immortality. But the fearful form of Agasura made them question whether they were immortal. If they came before him, they were finished. So the demigods feared this great soul. But the cowherd boys had no fear. The demigods have all kinds of power, all kinds of positions, all sorts of weapons. And the cowherd boys, they were fearless because they had Krishna. They had faith in Krishna. So when the demigods saw Krishna swallowed by Agha, they all became very worried and they began to call out, alas, alas. And Kamsa and the whole race of Rakshasas and demons, they were all watching too. And when they saw Krishna swallowed by Agasura, they knew the potency and power of Agasura's envy and hatred. So they were all jubilant. They were very happy. This again is a question of the mind. The same thing happened. Krishna is swallowed by Agha. The demigods are in misery and the demons are in ecstasy. Everything is according to our perception. But the cowherd boys, they were transcendental. They were just, we are with Krishna. What is there to fear? Fear personified is afraid of Krishna. So Krishna entered into this terrible contaminated mouth and body of this great envious demon named Agha. And then he began to expand himself. And he became so big that no air could go in or out of Agha's mouth or his nose. And Agha, being completely filled up with Krishna, He couldn't breathe. And he suffocated. And his life air was trying to find some place to get out. Because when you die, your life air comes out of your body. So it just came out of a, just burst through the hole of it, in a hole in the top of his head. And his life air came out in the form of a dazzling light and went into the sky. And it just waited there. And then all the cowherd boys, they were still clapping and dancing, chanting the glories of Lord Krishna, and they came out of the mouth. And then after all of them, Krishna appeared. And when he appeared outside of the body of Agha, at that time, that brilliant light, which was the soul of Agasura, came and willingly entered into the body of Krishna. He achieved mukti. He achieved liberation in the body of the Lord. Shukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit, this is the power of Krishna. Krishna can purify even the worst, most wicked demons. What great, great religious people are striving to achieve for many millenniums, Agasura achieved within seconds, just because within him resided Krishna. So this is the power of how Krishna purifies. And our mind is something like this Agasura demon. He's always trying to enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But if somehow or other we can just put Krishna in our mind, it becomes purified. Completely purified. Whatever our situation, even the greatest demons, they were all liberated just by contact with Krishna. We saw in the drama last night, Hiranyakashipu, such a terrible asura. His heart was filled with so much of a stock of sinful activities. What would the reactions be? No calculation. But just by contact with Lord Narasimhadev, he was liberated. And just by contact with his son Prahlad, even in an envious, hateful way, it invoked Narasimhadev to come and purify him. This is the power of associating with the Lord and associating with the Lord's devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Katan chanasmrate yashmin dushkaram shukaram bhavet vismrate viparitam syat sri chaitanyam mamitam. That means that if one simply remembers the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the most difficult things can be overcome. The most difficult circumstances can easily be transcended. But if one forgets the Supreme Lord, even the easiest things become impossible. So we should always remember Krishna. During the Leela of Lord Gaur Sundar, one time, the wife of Srivas Thakur, Malini, she was helping her husband by preparing the articles for his puja to the Supreme Lord. And there was a nice brass cup. Was it brass or silver? But it was a nice, I think, silver cup. And that was a cup that was filled with ghee. And the Lord would use that, Srivas would use that for his puja. And she was making all nice arrangements in the service of her husband. And then this crow came into the room. And the crow took his beak and picked up the cup of ghee and flew away. And went out of sight. So Malini was very much disturbed that my husband, he will be very disappointed with me that I have lost his cup of ghee. And she began to cry because she wanted so much to please her husband. And she was thinking that if I get in the way of his service, he will become angry with me. Transcendental anger. So she was very worried. And she was crying. And she began to remember the Lord. And Just like Draupadi remembered Krishna when Durvasa Muni, that was also drama last night. These dramas were so wonderful. Every single one of those dramas was so illuminating and enlightening and enriching to our consciousness. They were performed with such sincerity and such devotion and such simplicity that I am eternally indebted and grateful to all of these wonderful devotees who had performed these dramas. They have transformed our lives. So please, everyone, offer your grateful obeisances to all of these nice devotees who wrote the scripts and performed the decorations and made all the arrangements and did the acting. Everyone involved, please say Hari Bol. Riva. So we saw how Durvasa Muni, he came feed my 60,000 disciples food. In Draupadi there was no food. She knew this wasn't very pleasing to Yudhisthira Maharaj either. So what could she do? She was in a helpless condition. She just started remembering Krishna. And Krishna came. Let me see the pot. And he found one little scrap. And just by eating that, Durvasa and all of his friends, Vrishabhanu Prabhu and all of his disciples, never have we seen Vrishabhanu Prabhu become so firm and angry before. I can't imagine who cast this gentle sadhu to be Durvasa Muni. But somehow or other, you know, he's such a gentle, kind, devotee professor. But by his desire, Durvasa Muni definitely incarnated within his... Everyone's hearts were trembling when he began to shout that if you were not the sons of Kunti, I would curse you. Haribo. So they all became filled up. This is the power of remembering Krishna. So Malini, the cup of ghee was gone. That's a very serious matter. Interrupting Srivas's puja. So she began to cry. And she remembered the Lord. And just at that moment, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram himself, came into the house. And he said, Malini, why are you crying? And she said, because the cup of ghee, which is meant for my husband's puja, was just stolen by a crow. And the crow came back. But without the cup of ghee. So Nityananda Prabhu spoke very lovingly to the crow. He said, my dear crow, please bring back this cup of ghee you have taken from Malini, for Srivas can use it for his puja. So just at that moment, the crow flew away into the horizon. And then a few seconds later, the crow came back with the cup of ghee in his beak, and he presented it very lovingly right before Malini. And Malini was very happy. She began to offer prayers to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, that what great wonder is this? This is no surprise. In your form of Balaram, you brought back the dead sons of your teacher, Sandipani Muni, from the abode of Yamaraj. So what problem is, if you can do that, bring dead back to life? It is now difficult for you to get a crow to bring a cup of ghee. As Ananta Shesha, you are holding all the planets and universes on the hoods of your head, and you're so busy glorifying the Lord that you don't even know that they're there. He's just so much... This is his service, keeping all the planets and universes on his heads. Do you know how heavy planets and universes are?
But he's so busy chanting the holy names of the Lord. He's so much in ecstasy chanting. That Anantashesha forgets that there's even anything on his head. So Malini said, if you can do that, it is no... the crow with the cup of ghee. And she prayed in so many ways that the Lord is supreme. He can do anything. And whatever he does is ultimately always to protect and give pleasure to his devotees. The Lord is the supreme controller. Not even a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. And the Lord is orchestrating the whole universe just to protect and ultimately purify his devotees. So who would not want to be such a devotee? If we are simply wrangling in this material existence for some sort of relief and enjoyment, then we have no connection with God. We are simply connected to his external potencies, the laws of karma. Why would anyone want to live a life like that? But if you just sincerely approach the Lord with devotion, he will orchestrate all creation just to purify you, just to cleanse your heart and make you whole, and give you the bliss, the satisfaction of unlimited love. We should know that one who remembers the personality of Godhead becomes actually fearless. Becomes actually purified, because all fear is due to the misconceptions, the illusions that I am this body. We forget our true soul. But remembrance of Krishna brings us to our original natural consciousness, Krishna consciousness, beyond pain, beyond fear, beyond death. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam, that is the king of education. That is the most important of all forms of knowledge, is how to always remember Krishna. Malini explained that although the Lord is doing so many great things, and to get a crow to bring a cup of ghee back to me appears insignificant, actually, anything the Lord does is not insignificant. Everything is supreme, unlimited, and glorious. And the Lord performs so many wonderful pastimes and speaks so many wonderful instructions. He appears in this world in so many forms just to help us remember him. The deity in the temple, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by his own sweet will is appearing in his full opulence in these wonderful forms to reciprocate love with us, and invites us to come every Sunday or every day to come and see him and pray to him. Remember this form. It will purify our hearts. Just by seeing, by remembering the deity in the temple, we become purified. And there are so many narrations of the pastimes of the Lord which we are hearing today. Just by hearing with a sincere, submissive heart, it goes into our mind and purifies it. Just by seeing the devotees, the thought of that devotee enters our mind and purifies it because of that devotee's connection to Krishna. And the Lord is none different than his name. We can always remember Krishna
and keep Krishna in our mind and continue to cleanse and purify the mind by the chanting of his holy name. Seto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam steya kairava chandrikavataranam vidyavatu jivanam anandam buddhivaradanam pratipatam punamratashvatanam sarvatmasna paramparam vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. The prime benediction for all humanity in this age of Kali Yuga is the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Because this chanting cleans the heart, purifies the mind. Because the name keeps us always in remembrance of Krishna. So let us not fall victim to the uncontrolled mind, but let us call upon Krishna to conquer the mind. The mind gives birth to these six enemies: lust, anger, pride, envy, greed, and illusion. These are the six enemies that are living within the abode of our mind. How to conquer them? Only Krishna could conquer them. Krishna is Madhusudana. He is the killer of even the greatest of the demons. And Prahlad Maharaj is here explaining to Hiranyakashipu that your mind is a great demon. There are so many demons living in your mind. And because of this, Father, you are a demon. Because what is in your mind is what you are. According to your mind, you will speak. According to your mind, you will act. Srila Prabhupada said, the face is the index of the mind. One's activities, one's words are an expression that we can understand a person's mind. So what is the difference between a demon and a divine person? Their minds. One is filled with Krishna and one is filled with these six enemies. So Prahlad is praying to Hiranyakashipu, stop being a demon, my father. You are the best of the demons because you have a demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoise to everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no other enemy in this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. So how to come to this platform of seeing everyone with equal vision? It is only possible when Krishna enters our hearts, our minds, and purifies. And he has given us a whole path. The process of bhakti is simply for that. We do not practice our religious activities as rituals for the purpose of getting some good luck. Ultimately, all of the rituals, all of the practices are to purify our heart, to purify our mind, to cleanse us of greed and lust and envy and pride and anger and illusion. And when all these things are gone, all that's left is love and compassion and devotion and bliss, ecstasy. So let us follow these wonderful principles of devotional service very carefully. In a few days is Janmashtami, where we celebrate Krishna's coming into this world. He performed his wonderful lila. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. He established so many wonderful names in relationship to his pastimes. In this way, he came simply to purify our hearts. And the next day just following Krishna's appearance on Nandotsava is the appearance day, the 100th birthday of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. The 100th birth anniversary of Srila Prabhupada. Perhaps the most auspicious and wonderful celebration of the century. Because Krishna is most satisfied when we please and glorify His devotee. And there is no devotee that has appeared in this material world who is so pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna comes to reclaim fallen souls. That's His only business of entering into this world. And that devotee who sacrifices most for that purpose is most dear to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has taken the pure, unalloyed teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spread them throughout the entire planet and invited everyone to chant, to dance, and to be truly happy. So I humbly request all of you to come and accept our invitation and celebrate Sri Krishna's Janamastami and His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's 100th centennial anniversary appearance day here at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Srila Prabhupada taught us by His example and by His words how to always remember Krishna in every circumstance. When He was on the boat, the Jaladuta, so much inconvenience and suffering, heart attacks, no one to help Him, all alone. You can't be rushed to the hospital when you're on a cargo ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. But he simply remembered Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, Krishna appeared to him with all His incarnations on a boat and showed Prabhupada that now I'm taking over this ship. And from that moment on, it was the smoothest voyage the Jaladuta had ever seen. If we simply remember Krishna, He will always save us. He will always do the needful to purify us. And no matter what happened to any devotee throughout the years of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful, compassionate spiritual training, he never left the central point of Krishna consciousness. In any situation, in every situation, never be disheartened. Always remember Krishna. Success or failure doesn't matter if we remember Krishna. We have to try for success. But even if we fail, it makes no difference. As long as we're remembering Krishna. Who is a wonderful example of this? Jatayu. Jatayu, he was an old bird. Sita was taken by Ravana. And Jatayu understood that I'm very old. I'm no match to Ravana. He's very young and strong with all powers given by Brahma and Shiva. But he understood, I cannot just sit here and let this happen. I must fight. So Jatayu went up and he challenged Ravana. That as long as I'm living, you will not take Sita away. And he fought with all of his might. He attacked Ravana. He started scratching him with his claws and biting him and poking him with his beak. He tore off Ravana's helmet. He destroyed his horses. He destroyed his chariot. He destroyed his bows and arrows. And he was fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. But because of his severe old age, he became very tired. And in that fatigue, Ravana saw his weakness
and took his mighty sword and cut off Jatayu's wings. Jatayu was completely defeated. He lost the battle. He could not stop Ravana from taking Sita. Ravana just went along with Sita as if Jatayu never came. And what was Jatayu's condition? He was laying there profusely, mortally bleeding. And then Ramchandra came. And Lakshman came. And they saw different flowers and jewels of Sita. And then they saw Jatayu. They thought, this demon killed Sita and ate Sita. Let us kill him. And Jatayu was just chanting the name of Ram, completely immersed in the... Then Ram and Lakshman understood. This is our devotee. This is the friend of our father. Jatayu lost the battle. He was not successful. And he lost his life. And he suffered terribly. But Lord Ramchandra was right there at his side. Ramchandra himself performed the funeral rites for Jatayu, and on that very moment, he sent Jatayu back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, to be his eternal associate in an eternal spiritual body to enjoy unlimited bliss. Did Jatayu lose that fight? Because he was remembering Ram, he was victorious. Ravana won the fight. But because he was not remembering Ram in devotion, he was the loser. Arjuna fought for Krishna and won. Jatayu fought for Krishna and lost. Is there any difference? The only difference is Jatayu went back to Godhead sooner. But actually, for such devotees as Jatayu or Arjuna, they're always back to Godhead, whether they're here or there. They're always serving the Lord. So therefore, Prabhupada taught us that you just fight for Krishna. That means you have to fight the temptations of your mind and senses. You have to fight all obstacles and oppositions that come in the path of service to Guru and Gauranga. And if you just remember Krishna in that way, and always chant his holy names, remember his beautiful deity form, hear his pastimes, and remember how to serve him, then your life is perfect. Transcendental to the dualities of this material existence. What you remember at the time of death is what you will attain. Krishna says, Antakali chamame vasmanan bhakva kalevara. Remember me, and you will go back to Godhead. This is the perfection of our lives. So let us help one another. This is the expression of the highest love, to help another being to remember Krishna. The process of Sankirtan is the wonderful means by which, through our enthusiasm and through our chanting, we are all helping one another to remember Krishna. This wonderful festival of Julan Yatra, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience of remembering Krishna in this most charming scene, sitting on the throne with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. Krishna consciousness is the most beautiful, beautiful gift of the Lord. Let us never allow Maya to take us away. Let us keep our minds always at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and let us always chant their holy names.